Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. There you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, Todd. So we are now over the mark of 600 episodes. And for all of our listeners, if you have not listened to episode 600, it was not a train wreck.
It wasn't. It was kind of normal.
Yeah.
Sorry to let you guys down.
Yeah, and we started with trends versus fads in church multiplication. And then we talked about the whole idea of the great sort, who is coming back and who isn't, and all in and around that. So what we wanted to do, at least in these first several episodes into 600, and we recognize that COVID is still, like it has been from the beginning, it looks different depending on where you live, right? Whether you're waiting for your first shot, or you're waiting for your second, or you have an aversion to vaccines, and or you are fully vaccinated and things are normal and they're not. I mean, not even within the states and within Canada, it's different per state and per jurisdiction and province, but around the world, it's very, very different. So what we want to do essentially is talk about, over the next several episodes between Todd and I, this idea of building back better. Now, we know for some of you, it might be right now. You are, or you've already started building back post-COVID. And maybe for others of you, it's going to be a few months from now, or hopefully not a year. But the idea is really to do several episodes on, hey, when this is all over, what does it look like to build back better? We're not talking about going back to where we used to be, because the world has obviously permanently changed. But how do we build back, but not just build back, but build back better? So on today's episode, we want to talk about the whole idea of remote work, the church office. Do we go back, everyone back in the office? Do we stay remote? Do we do a hybrid? And how do you even come to terms with what that even looks like for your context? So, Todd, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so there's a lot going on with this conversation, simply because there's a lot of people in positions that have been exposed during COVID. Mm-hmm. And this happens both ways. It could be that it was exposed, we would have said this person has to be in the office, and it was exposed that no, it actually doesn't have to be, and they can be effective wherever they are. So in some cases, we won't like it because we've created a monster here, because there are a lot of positions that could be done effectively from home. On the other side, it's also exposed people and positions that can't work from home.
That's right.
On the people side, it could be a personality or proficiency issue, where let's just say they get distracted by the dog and the television, or there are kids all over the place in the house, or they're just not effective working from home. It could be a personality, it could be a situation, it could be a process, or their job, the nature of the job themselves. Mm-hmm. That no, this job requires us to be on-site counseling or on-site doing X. It's not just that this person, isn't, needs extra accountability. In some cases that's true. It also could be the position, that requires the type of work that requires, a different environment outside the home, because there's plenty of things, there's plenty of ministry that we can't do, just from anywhere.
Well, and that's part of the thing, right, Todd? Because at the beginning of COVID, we're all just forced, depending on where you live, there are stay-at-home orders. And in a sense, a lot of churches didn't have the opportunity to do any sort of change management or say, okay, in the next several weeks, we're going to learn how to work from home. It was just all of a sudden, work from home, grab your stuff and work from home. And then there was a period of time over the next several months where it's like, okay, maybe you might not have a place that maybe you're just sitting on at your kitchen table. Okay, bring your office chair home or bring your extra monitor home. And hopefully by now, 14, 15 months of doing this, of back and forth and all that stuff, you have probably grown in self-awareness to realize, okay, you know what? I can work from home and it actually works a lot better, or I can't and I am not effective and everyone is all over the map. And really, that's the first thing that you need to recognize, that everyone on your team is going to be all over the map. Now, hopefully you've discerned who and which roles could be full-time permanent from home and which can't be. For example, our facilities manager cannot work from home because, I mean, he's our facilities manager. So yet our graphic designer, she doesn't need to be in the office anymore. And if she does, it's kind of thinking about, okay, when? And then there's that whole side on your team where I think at the beginning it was like, oh, you know, this is exciting. You know, there's no commute time. There's all this. And then we've all kind of gotten tired. And it's like, okay, I miss seeing people. So as you build back better when it comes to remote work and when it comes to whether it's fully back or fully remote or a mix of the both, and I'm leaning towards, actually, because we're talking about church plants and multi-site churches and churches that want to multiply, it's going to obviously lean more toward the hybrid / in-person side of things. Right. For the majority of roles, you just need to recognize that to do one model and one shoe for every single person on your team is not going to work, especially after 14 months of this.
Again, I'm going to get out my drum. Mm. That is the intuitive versus intentional drum. And so, again, just as you pointed out, we most likely intuitively reacted to COVID and having to work from home versus thoughtfully responding in a more intentional way. And so now is a good time for you to take a step back and say, okay, this is what we intuitively did. What did we learn? Yeah, what did we glean from this? Mm-hmm. And then how can we effectively put this into processes, policies, whatever, that are intentional in getting work done?
Yeah.
That, please understand, I hate policies and I hate extra processes. The only time you want to put those into place is if it actually leads to better ministry. Uh-huh. So it's not just about building back. It's, as Daniel pointed, building back better. So it's your opportunity to say, okay, what were the things that were amazing as a result of this? Mm-hmm. Let's keep those. And how do we be intentional about how we set our employees, our key ministry leaders and volunteers? How do we set these people up for success in a new world?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's listen to a word from our sponsor for today, and then we will be right back in continuing this conversation. Jesus' final charge to his disciples was to go and make disciples of all nations. And yet many Christians today struggle to understand what this means for them, and many churches find it difficult to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. For the past 15 years, our friends at Downline Ministries have partnered with local churches by equipping men and women to know God's word and make disciples in the context of their homes, their churches, and their communities. They do this through the Downline Institute, a 9-month training program where students are taught Genesis to Revelation, biblical manhood, womanhood, and practical discipleship training. If you long for a greater knowledge of God's word, a clearer vision for making disciples, and a strengthening of biblical discipleship in your church, check out the Downline Institute's in-person and virtual training options. Downline is offering our listeners $100 off of the tuition cost. Just use the code LIFEWAY when you apply at downlineministries.com. Now back to the episode. All right, so I'll tell you what we did, Todd, and I'd love to get your thoughts on how we could possibly, Beulah could possibly build back better, because we're in the midst of this conversation at the moment. At the beginning, we basically went with core hours. And it was very much inspired by what we talked about, Todd, when I was on your team, and the idea of, because I was on your team at Lifeway Leadership, and we were already working from home, right? I was in Canada when COVID hit, but we were already doing multiple days from home, and we talked about this idea of core hours, core days. So we actually set that with our team where we said, you know what, Tuesday to Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. are core hours. In other words, those are the hours where you need to be available, accessible, and we recognize that we had parents, we had moms, we had dads, we had singles, we had all, and there were different, and people were trying to figure out how to school from home and all that stuff. So there was a lot of flexibility that needed to be there. But we said, you know what, you need to be reachable and accessible for meetings and all that stuff from 10 to 2. So we actually had, we always do Wednesday at 11 o'clock, some sort of staff gathering, whether it's a development or a meeting or a chapel or that. So that's already there. And then that allowed teams to say, okay, you know, we're going to put our team meetings before or after that. So that's what we've been doing for the last 14 months. And that was really to get things going. And then every team then modified along the way. There was a point where the cases were so low, it was before our second wave, where we actually did Wednesdays in person, where it wasn't all day in person, but our staff gatherings we always did in person. And we did that for connections, and we rolled it out in a way where it wasn't like all of a sudden everyone's at home and now all of a sudden everyone in the office. No, we rolled it out in a way. But that was one piece. And when the second wave hit here, we had to shut that all down. So as we think about building back better and what this hybrid sense looks like, the biggest reason I think a hybrid mode is going to work, whereas it wasn't the case before COVID all hit, is because we introduced a new tool. We use Microsoft Teams. Now, we had used Slack for a little bit, but I mean, if you're looking for as a nonprofit, Microsoft is, you know, and I'm an Apple guy, but my goodness, Microsoft, their discount for nonprofits is insane. So we ended up using Teams and the whole Office 365 suite and all that stuff because of the cost of it. But really, that is a new tool where that's a game changer for us, where before it was emails, before it was text messages, before it was all over the map, but now we have in person, we have remote work, people are set up to do either, and we have this messaging tool that, just ups the game for us. So that's those kind of, I don't have a plan yet. We don't have a plan yet. We're still working on that. But I mean, what would your thoughts be with all of those in hand? Do you think we're missing a tool?
I love the idea of the core days. That's something that we had to institute in moving toward campuses back in the day, just so that we were all in. At least we knew if I need something or somebody, or just to build teams and build the team and keep morale. You can't do that. I'm sorry. There's lots of things that you can do on Zoom, and you can play games, and you can do different things, but at the end of the day, you need that proximity to build community.
Yeah, for sure.
There's only so much you can do. I'm sorry, offline, especially like your individual team who already knows each other. Sure, you're fine. You're probably fine. But especially cross teams and cross the church.
That's right.
Be it volunteers and staff, you need some time together. All right. So I love the idea of core days. I think that is if you don't do anything else and you do have some time where you're allowing people to work from anywhere or work from home, then absolutely do that. The other thing that you need to consider is this is moving from a temporary solution to something that is more part of every day and kind of normalcy. And for a lot of churches, it's kind of slid into that.
Yeah, for sure.
But there are HR issues and there are things that you need to think through and address now because, you know, are you going to that graphic designer that you mentioned, do they have what they need to be able to do their work from home?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to either A, require you to do your work from home, or B, make it available for you to do your work from home, in those scenarios, how much do I have to provide the person?
Yeah, that's right.
So, probably not the case for most churches, but, or for your church, but if you like require somebody to work from home, then you have to consider, you know, other additional costs that you might incur.
I guess so, like internet and yeah, that's right.
Because with large files, as an example, with a designer, you need a lot of bandwidth. You need a lot of space on you probably aren't using a laptop, at that point. You might hook your laptop into something, but you know what I'm saying? Like there's different requirements that are
that's a really interesting point thinking about from the HR and the expense side of things. Cause even for us, our pastoral staff had gotten a cell phone stipend every month because being pastors, you know, we're always kind of reachable in a sense. Other than our Sabbath, something that I'm continuing to advocate, but other than that, you know, we are reachable and accessible in that way, but we did not provide that for our administrative team yet. Once COVID hit and we started recognizing, oh, people are working from home and they don't have the church office. They don't have a phone on their desk anymore. How do we reach them? And how do we do all of that? We had gone to a VoIP system right before COVID hit. So that was actually huge. And that's wasn't planned. We didn't think or know that COVID was hitting in any way. It was just a cost saving sort of thing. But actually when that happened, we were like, okay, you know what? We actually need to begin providing stipends, not just to pastoral staff, but broadly and to broaden those categories. So you're right. There is that side. The other piece though, is I don't know, Todd, for churches, if I would require anyone to work from home, because man, if you make that a requirement and then you also say, okay, these are mandatory in office days, you almost need to provide them with two office setups.
Well, okay. So the way we ended up having like a bullpen, okay. For us, it was a growth issue where we were growing so fast.
Oh, like open offices, like shared offices.
Yeah, we called it a bullpen. Okay. And it was just, hey, this was a conference room. And now there are two or three of these places for people to land while they're here. And they're equipped for people to be able to land there. So it's not just a big empty room. It's thinking about the setup of this. Is this room going to be used simply for offices for other teams that are, you know, rolling in from another campus, and this is like their,
office. I see what you're saying.
Or is it going to be that, you know, Monday through Wednesday, but on Wednesday night it's used by the freshman girls?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, even on an equipment side of things, we're basically going to get rid of all our desktops and move everyone to, and our pastoral staff had been on laptops, but our administrative team, moving everyone to laptops so that there is that flexibility there. Hey, you know what? We've run out of time at 17 minutes. And I know we've been talking about different nuts and bolts. Really, those are just a few suggestions, but the whole idea of this episode was that it would inspire you to begin talking about this. Now, I know several of you actually use our episodes during your staff meetings as a way to kick off conversation and talk. So perhaps now you can go into that conversation around, okay, what now are we going to do as we build back better? The idea with these even numbered episodes over the next several is we're going to be talking about different elements and topics that are all about building back better, right? So this today was about remote work, and we're going to keep on going in two episodes from now. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.